Blog Talk Radio.
What a blessed day in Jesus Christ. Grateful to see such a day. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And you know what? I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for blessing us all to see this day, giving us the opportunity to go into the Word of God today, giving us the opportunity to assemble with information or come to together in searching information and coming together that we may hear from God and know the truth. Amen. I thank God for all of you that are listening to this broadcast, and I want to give you this number, which is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, hey, call in, I'll pray with you. If you have any comments, you know, about the lesson, you know, hey, call in. Let's keep everything civil. We're not trying to get into a big, you know, fight on the air. Amen. If you have any questions about the lesson, call in. 323-870-3403. Now, if any of you have any questions, but you say, you know what, Brother Nate, I don't like doing it over the air, no problem. Contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we will give unto you. Praise be to God. So, for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, once again, you know how we do this. But for those of you who are first-time listeners, before we go into any lesson of teaching and preaching, we like to always open up with prayer and petition the Lord that not only his spirit to be with us, but that his spirit will release unto us that which we stand in need of. So wherever you listen to me at home, you know, on the road, whatever, join in with me in prayer. Hey, I know that if you're driving, listening, hey, you know, you don't want to be closing your eyes driving, just listen along with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, this day we thank you once again for being God. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us once again to assemble together this day in this study. Father, we ask, Lord God, not only for the presence of your spirit, but, Lord, that what your spirit can release to us that we so desperately need. So, therefore, Lord, we claim the light, revelation, the understanding that we need today. And, Lord God, let it be so, Lord, because you see us and you know our need for you. So, therefore, Lord, this day, we're just very grateful and thankful for you and your spirit in the name of Jesus. And by the authority given me of Jesus Christ, I bind every demon, every devil that Satan has sent out to try to interrupt this broadcast. I bind every principality, every rulers of darkness of this world in wicked places, in the heavenlies that would try to mess with the airwaves. I plead the blood of Jesus against the works of Satan right now. Father, I call on you right now to send your warring angels. Send your warring angels to war against the evil spirits in the heavenlies. Lord God, that they would not interrupt this broadcast. So therefore, I release the peace of God over this broadcast, over these airwaves, that they would not be disrupted. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. I exercise my authority in Christ against the demonic spirits on this series because, for those of you who was listening on Thursday night, I know that you heard me as I was going forth with the word on this series with the Jehovah Witness, and all of a sudden, boop, you hear nothing else. Well, we had a technical difficulty, got cut off, but praise be to God. God's given another opportunity, so when this coming Thursday come again, praise be to the Lord. Lord say the same. I will still be on what they talk about the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to do that part, which I will cut off from, and then more. So we're going to hit the devil even harder. Amen? Now, this is Sunday night, and I want to reiterate and reiterate, especially for those of you who are first-time listeners, I am on a new series, and it's the overall subject of this series is the Jehovah Witness, what they teach and what they believe. And, amen, and this series is divided into different sections. And so on Sundays thus far, we're talking about Jehovah Witness, the founder. And this is the founder tonight, part two, because last Sunday we did part one. And this thing right here, I want to first off, before I go any further, I want to open up with an opening scripture in the book of Jude, verse 3, because Jude only has one chapter. And for anybody that's looking for it, it's the book right before Revelation. Okay. And so we're going to look at Jude, verse 3. And I want to read to you, this will be our opening scripture tonight. Amen. Jude, verse 3. Jude has only one chapter. Okay, so we're going to look at verse 3. This is our opening scripture. And the word of God says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So we are told to contend for the faith, to stand, okay? We are told in other scriptures, cry loud and spare not, standing for the faith, uplifting the faith, contend for the faith. Let people know it is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the number one thing. Hallelujah. And it's sad to say that some of us as Christians have hid. We won't stand. The world, the sinners, coming at you, asking you what you think about this and this and that. And some of you know what the word said, but you won't open your mouth. And if you do open your mouth, you try to dodge the question by giving a, you know, God loves everybody. Because you're so afraid that when you stand for the truth, that whoever you're talking to is either going to quit talking to you or they're going to ridicule you or all that, you know. And here's the big chance. Yes, that's going to happen. But here's the thing. Who is the greater in your life? Is it Jesus or is it them? Who would I be most concerned about not talking to me? Jesus or the people? Okay, that's how we got to look at it, people. And so we're told to contend for the faith. So I'm on this series about the Jehovah's Witness. And there are purposes or reasons why I'm doing this series. One of them is that you as Christians who are listening may know how to minister to those who are Jehovah's Witness. And also that you may know the truth. Okay. You said, well, what do you mean? For example, and some of us are asleep. Satan has gotten more cunning. And I'm not trying to glorify here, but I want to explain to you what I mean. Three names that is being used and is attached to things that is not of God. The word God, the name God. Now, the name Jesus Christ. And number three, Christian. Now, some of you say, okay, well, you got to go a little bit further. Explain to me, what do you mean? Well, for example, like the Masonic Order, people have started calling it a Christian organization. Now, I know some of you may have heard this or seen this or whatever, and you may didn't pay no attention to it. But I showed you as I did a series on that, the Masonic Order is not a Christian organization. But see, the name Christian is being attached to it, and it's a deceiving thing, okay? Hallelujah. Because it causes some to join an organization that is ungodly. Hallelujah. Now the name Christian is also being applied to the Jehovah's Witness. And now it's being said that the Jehovah's Witness are Christians. Hallelujah. But it's about Shatta, thank you, Lord. But that is not true. And this is the thing that makes it worse. Many of us as Christians are not searching things up. I've said this, as they say, the remark a million times. We're taking everything at face value. We think that just because people say God, Jesus, or Christian and apply to some, that we think, oh, it's legit. And so we won't search it up. And this is why we're getting into stuff that we'll find out later on that is not of God, got us in bondage, got us in sin, got us in trouble. And guess who we get mad at? Lord, Jesus Christ. Lord, why you let me? Lord, why you let me? Lord, why you let me? That's our big cry to God. Listen, 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, study to show thyself approved. Jesus said in John chapter 5, search the scriptures, okay? Then we're told in the word to meditate on the scriptures. Listen, there's a role God plays in your life, and there's a role you play. And the problem is with some of us as Christians, we're trying to put everything on God. Not doing nothing, no studying, no prayer time, and we the same one talking about God will protect me. Any trouble I get in, God will get me out of. So all we talking about what God's do, would do. What about what you were supposed to do? And so when you find yourself being deceived because somebody either told you or label or organization being Christian, you find out that it's ungodly stuff, sinful stuff going on. Whether they said they are Jesus Christ, you find out that they're not a God. And who you mad at the most now? The Lord God. Lord, why you let me? Why you let it happen? Why you let me? Playing the blame game like that, okay? So I'm on this series about the Jehovah's Witness. And tonight is titled Jehovah's Witness, the Founder, Part 2. Now, in Part 1, we looked at who founded the Jehovah's Witness. Was he or she a born-again believer? Now, if you ask the Jehovah's Witness, say, who founded the Jehovah's Witness? Well, you know, obviously, what they're going to say. God. God founded. And here's the thing where I tell you about what I said a few minutes ago. Some Christians would accept that. They won't search up nothing. Oh, they say God. God found them. Okay, well, God found them. Well, you say God found them, then you're good. Listen, just because everybody's saying God this and God that doesn't mean it's legit. And as Christians, you have to train yourself to start seeking stuff up, especially when you don't know. Because as a Christian, are you going to know everything? Surely you won't. But it ain't stopping you from seeking things that you don't know. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Can I get a Baptist? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so we looked at in Part 1, the founder of the Jehovah's Witness movement is Charles Taze Russell. And I want to encourage all of you, any of you rather, who have not listened to the beginning of this series, go back to Part 1. Now, if you're on this page, it should be the God's Word to Man logo on your left. You should be able to click on it. I think it's going to show episodes. If it shows episodes, click on it. What it does is show you all the past episodes we've done. Thank God for Blog Talk Radio records what we do. Amen. I want to encourage you to go back to listen to Jehovah Witness, the Founder, Part 1. Because I always tell people, when you come in the middle of a teaching or even the middle of a preaching sermon or at late almost at the end, you don't quite get the understanding about what the whole thing is dealing about. So it's just like the man that comes in service. If he comes in service late, got 10 minutes left before Sunday school, though, what is the first thing he do besides after sitting down? He looking around trying to see what everybody's on, okay? And then when he find out where they at, and that's the Sunday school teacher, the preacher is teaching, and now when the preacher say, for the last 3 or 4 minutes, okay, blah, 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 that's it. Now he's looking confused because he's like, well, what did he say that for? So that's why I encourage people, go back and listen to Part 1. So after you listen to Part 2 tonight, go back and listen to Part 1. Amen? Now, in Part 1, that how that Charles Taze Russell was the originator who started the Jehovah's Witness. Now, of course, they was called Dawn Bible Students when they had to split those that wanted to remain with Charles Taze Russell and his teaching. He wrote, from what I understand, I think it was like 6 books. And the 7th book, they edited from his writings after death. And through that 7th book, from what I understand, it caused a split in the organization where the smaller group, who was faithful to Charles Taze Russell, became the Bible, the Dawn Bible Students or the Laban Missionary Movement. But those who was wanted to be more faithful to Judge Rutherford, and Judge Rutherford was the successor after Charles Taze Russell died, those who were more loyal to him became what we know today as the Jehovah Witness. But overall, when you look at their teachers and all that, it started from Charles Taze Russell. We was looking at to see, was he a born-again believer? And I went into it with you to show you that he wasn't, okay? He did not believe in what the scriptures talked about, eternal torment. He didn't believe that. He had a problem with the atonement of Jesus Christ. And then he wrote a book, and if I'm not mistaken, that book was called Studies, where he said the man Jesus is dead, forever dead. Let me repeat that again. He said the man Jesus is dead, forever dead. Now, I took you into Romans 10 and in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter in the Bible to show you that if you don't believe that Jesus is raised from the dead, you ain't saved. And Paul, not only he let you know that in Romans 10, but he made it more explanatory, more expounded when he told the Christians at Corinth that, hey, in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, that if Jesus had not risen, You are yet in your sins, and your faith is in vain. You ain't saved. So Charles Taze Russell was not saved, okay? He said the man Jesus dead, forever dead. So he wasn't born again, amen? Now, this is something that the Jehovah's Witnesses don't want to talk about. And if they do talk about it, they want to argue down about it. He was not a born-again believer, amen? Now, tonight, we're going to go on a little bit more about Charles Taze Russell, because I want you to understand the nature of character that he operated in. And so I want to talk about five things that he was involved with. And if time permit, we'll go through it all over tonight. If not, then, hey, we'll just do Jehovah's Witness, the founder, part three next Sunday. Amen. Because for those of you that listen to me on Blog Talk Radio, you know, when it comes to me giving the word and teaching the word, I have testified to you many times how God dealt with me that in teaching, you don't rush through it. You have to go at a gradual pace. And so, hey, if we don't get it all tonight, there will be a part three next Sunday on this part, okay? Okay, amen. So, having said that, I want to turn to the scriptures in Proverbs chapter 24. And I want to look at tonight some things that he was involved in that was made public, to give you the type of character or nature he operated in, okay? Amen? And I want you to understand it, because he was not a born-again believer. He was not a Christian. Jehovah's Witness organization is not a Christian organization, people. I'm telling you now, it's not, okay? And see, all this information I'm giving you in scriptures, listen, some of you may be listening and say, hey, I think you just round, you just down and then get on blah, blah, blah. Okay, if you don't believe me, take what I'm giving you and search it up yourself. Amen. You know, I find many people do that. I just don't believe. But see, they don't really know and they won't search nothing up. They just go by what I just feel. You just hide on them people. You just be down on people. You just around and blah, blah, blah. Okay, then, if you feel like that, I can't change your feeling. But here what I'm going to tell you, you open up for deception, okay? When you don't go and try to search things out for yourself. And this is the reason why not only me, but when you have Brother Lee coming on, Brother Emmanuel Murphy, Brother Kevin Bruce, when we're giving you scriptures, guess why we're giving it to you? If you ain't got a witness back right then, you can write it down and go search it up. This is why we're giving you scriptures. If we were trying to be hidden about this stuff, why would we even bother giving you scriptures to go look up? Amen? Now, I want to look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse 28. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 28. Because it's very important that we see it. Now, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 28 said, be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause. Okay. So you rise up a witness against your neighbor without true reason. Okay, he said, don't do that. He said, and deceive not with thy lips. Now, I want you to also especially zoom in on that last part of the verse, and deceive not with thy lips, misleading people. Hallelujah. Deception, deceiving. God told, he's telling us to believe us. Don't deceive with your lips. Well, I'm here to show you, Charles Taze Russell didn't mind deceiving you, okay? He didn't mind deceiving you. Now, once again, I know some Jehovah's Witnesses will probably get hot mad and probably blowing the top right now and maybe needed somebody to stand behind them to catch them from falling because they're so upset. But here, I come to you in the love of Jesus Christ so you won't be deceived. And I really believe that some Jehovah's Witnesses don't know this, okay? They don't know this. Because one thing about these ungodly organizations, they don't mind hiding particular stuff. You understand what I'm saying? They don't mind hiding stuff that really expose what they're about. Because when they're trying to get you to join, why would they show you that they worship as Satan? Okay, if they try to get you to join, what's the purpose to get you? What do we do to get you to join? We show you all the quote good stuff, quotation marks around the words. We show y'all the good stuff up front. So why should we show you that that their worship is safe. Why would they show you that? Okay. So I really believe too that many that are Jehovah's Witnesses don't know this. Okay. Now, the Bible says, "Deceive not with thy lips." And as I said to you a minute ago, Charles Taze Russell did not mind deceiving you. Let's give you an example. I'm gonna give you an example called the miracle wheat. Yeah, the miracle wheat. Wheat. W-H-E-A-T. You know, wheat. The miracle wheat. Now, let me give you the information about this miracle wheat where it involved Charles Taze Russell and his deception. Okay? One of the more remarkable stories involved the very first president of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society named Charles Taze Russell. The man was found guilty, get this, of selling phony miracle wheat through his publication, Zion Watchtower and Heralds of Christ's Presence. Russell claimed, now get this, about this miracle wheat. Russell claimed that this miracle wheat was superior to regular wheat and would grow five times as fast as any other bread. This is what he claimed, okay? This is what he claimed. He claimed that this miracle wheat that he had, okay, was superior to any regular wheat, and then would grow five times as fast as any other bread. After the Brooklyn Daily Eagle, which was a newspaper at that time, I think a newspaper at that time, ran a cartoon ridiculing Russell and his miracle wheat, Russell sued the newspaper. And one thing else, and if I get time, and I want to tell you about Russell, was he loved money, okay? So he don't mind. He didn't mind. You said something out of the way and exposed something on him. He didn't mind taking you to court because he tried to get some money. Amen. Now, this newspaper, Brooklyn Daily Eagle, they put a picture of a cartoon in there and they were making fun of him, okay? And his miracle wheat. So it says when the miracle wheat was investigated by government agencies, it was found to be slightly inferior to standard wheat. Needless to say, the eagle won the suit. Did you hear that? Okay. Now, for what I understand, he was selling this, and they was advertising this miracle wheat seed for a sale at $1 a pound. Okay. Now, glory to God. There were other claims made for this wheat seed. And get this, the followers of Charles Taze Russell was advised to purchase it themselves so the proceeds can go to the Watchtower and be used in publishing that Pastor Charles Taze Russell sermons, okay? Oh, yeah, he getting the money. He getting the money, okay? But the government tested it and found out this so-called miracle wheat was inferior to the regular standard wheat. My goodness, Charles Taze Russell deceiving with his lips, going around telling folks that he got some miracle wheat. Now, if that don't sound familiar by some quote, I got to say this. This miracle water, if you sow the seed of $100 or $1,000, you'll get this miracle water. Well, I got to be honest about it, people. Hallelujah. Even in Christianity, we just got, some of us just got off the, as the young folks say, off the chain, and I don't mean in no good way neither, okay? Amen. So Charles Russell, he deceived the people by claiming to have some type of miracle wheat. Okay. He deceived the people. Tell me it's gonna grow five times faster. Okay. And see, the money that they were gonna make for it, as I read to you, was to go to the Watchtower and it was gonna be used in publishing his sermons. Okay? Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? And the government agency tested it. Amen. Now, I don't know, that when people are doing deception, they just ain't plain thinking. The greatest example I know is Lucifer. Lucifer that was just dumb. Boy. Now, you was created by God as an angel. And you decided that you're going to be, quote, and I paraphrase this, you're going to make yourself over the Most High God, over him. You're going to take God's place. That was just dumb. Now, I say that to say this. Charles Russell knew that he was deceiving people. And when paper made fun of him, he should have just left it alone. But he messed himself up by what? Taking them to court. That show he wasn't, he wasn't thinking in your deception. You didn't cover all your court bases. And even if you could, you were going to be exposed. But that shows you something right there, amen? Glory to God, hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost, right? Thank you, Jesus. Head of a shot, that of a shake. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to the Most High God. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 13. I'm going to look at verse 5, but I want to look at, and we're going to go to the second thing that Charles Taze Russell was involved in that reveals his character and nature. I'm showing you what the how the man operated, period. Okay, that's what I'm showing you. I'm showing you how he operated. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the living God. He is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 5. Now, look what the Word of God says. It says, a righteous man, he hate lying. In fact, if he knew he had to lie, he'd probably start shaking and trembling. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome or disgusting and cometh to shame. And cometh to shame. Hallelujah. So that wicked man don't hate lying, but he cometh to shame. Now, I'm going to give you why I went to that scripture on that, because I dealt with you about how that Charles Russell was a deceiver, but he also was a liar. And you could put liar in there with that miracle we see too, because he was just straight up lying. Not only was he deceiving the people, misleading them, and thinking that, hey, I got some kind of miracle wheat, and boom, 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 five times faster, boom, grow. Greater. Man, just misleading folks, okay? But he also operated as a liar. And the Bible said the righteous man hated lying. He didn't have no problem with lying. Amen. Like I said, some of you as Jehovah Witnesses listening to what I said, you know, you might, I don't want to hear no more, blah, blah, blah. I love you with the love of God, okay? But I got to tell you the truth, amen? Hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, before I get into that information on that, let me give you one more, another scripture to that. And it's going to tie in with all this because it's 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to give you 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And once again, on this series on the Jehovah Witness, I'm here to tell y'all, I'm not going to be in cover with every single thing about it, but this series will help boost any of you that's listening to not only take what I'm giving you, but go further. You'll find out other stuff. You know, they all get talking about no blood transfusion and all that. This is also to spark you as the Christian who says, I'm interested in knowing, getting knowledge and understanding and learn. But this is going to prompt you to study this stuff yourself. Amen. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Now, look what the Word of God says. It says, For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I'm going to stop there. There are some scriptures from the Bible that I've heard so many people misquote. It ain't funny. This is one of them. I had a talk with a man a few years ago, and he said, you know, the Lord said money is the root of all evil. I said, no, he didn't say that. Guy looked at me and said, that ain't in the Bible. He didn't say that. I said, nope, he didn't say that. Wait a minute. I thought that was the Bible. He said, the love of money. He didn't say money itself. Money is needed to be used in this day and time where we're in. Amen. He said, you love it, money. It's the root of all evil. The root of all evil, what? All kinds of evil. Because you would do all kinds of evil. If you have a love for money, you would do all kinds of evil just to get it. And I brought this scripture up as I read the rest of the verse. It said, while some covet after themselves through with many sorrows. See, even some Christians, from what we see Paul was telling Timothy, had this problem. They loved money, and it caused them to err from the faith. Okay? You loving money will cause you not to wait on God. It will cause you to lie just to get some money. And it's amazing what some people do. They turn around and say, you know, I got a blessing from the Lord. I'm like, what Lord you talking about? When you sign the sheet, and the sheet said how much money you making a year, and you know you make $50,000 to $60,000, but you knew if you put a low number on there, that'll get you the money, and you wrote down $25,000 to $28,000, okay? And perhaps what you were signing up for wasn't really search stuff out, and they gave you the money. You tell me it's a blessing from the Lord. No, you lied to get that. You lied to get it. As Brother Frederick Price would say, hallelujah. You lied to get it, okay? Now, I brought up them two scriptures because I want to go to you about another thing with Charles Russell, showing his character, how the man operated. He was a deceiver, he was a liar, and he was someone that loved money. Now, there was this particular thing that came up. This is another court case that ended up happening, okay, where Charles Russell had proven himself to be a perjurer. June of 1912, this was about 4 years before he died, okay? In June of 1912, there was this minister named Reverend J.J. Ross of Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, and he published what was called a denunciatory pamphlet about Russell, and he entitled this pamphlet called Some Facts About the Self-Styled Pastor Charles T. Russell, okay? Well, we all know, and you know what I'm about to say, how Russell felt about it. He wasn't jumping up for joy doing cartwheels and backflip because J.J. Ross was showing him that he wasn't real, that he was a fake. So we know Russell didn't like that. So guess what Russell did? I know you already guessed it. He sued Ross for libel, okay? There he go, taking somebody else to court again, okay? Now, during the trial, and this trial took place the following year, okay, J.J. Ross, Reverend J.J. Ross had an attorney named Staunton. Now, I hope I'm pronouncing this name right, and it's spelled S-T-A-U-N-T-O-N, Staunton. I'm just going to say it's Staunton. I hope I pronounce it right. If I'm not, please forgive me. J.J. Ross had an attorney named Staunton, okay? So during the trial, Staunton asked Russell if he knew the Greek alphabet. Now, you said, well, why did he ask him that? Well, let me give you a quick cap on that. Because Russell claimed to have translated or know what was, and I don't know if everybody termed this, but what has been termed the dead languages. And the dead languages is termed Hebrew, Greek, Latin. And so he claimed to know this and translated over into, you know, supposed to be the word of God, okay? Because I know some of you know, maybe some of you don't know, and I'm going to say this, that the Bible was not originally written in English, okay? So it was written in Hebrew and Greek, so it had to be translated. And so Charles Russell claimed to know Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. He claimed to know this, okay? So while in the court, the defense attorney of Reverend Ross, he asked Russell, he said, do you know the Greek alphabet? Now, my research here, I'm going to read to you, you know, what he said, okay? The question from the attorney was to Charles Russell, do you know the Greek alphabet? And remember, the reason why they're in court is because of who? Because of Charles Russell. He decided, I'm going to sue this man. See, so he should have left well alone. But now you're going to get exposed, okay? So the lawyer actually said, do you know the Greek alphabet? And Charles' answer was, oh, yes. And so the lawyer come back and said, can you tell me the correct letters if you see them, okay? And then Charles said, some of them, I might make a mistake on some of them, okay? When he said that, okay, the lawyer handed him a Greek testament, okay? And the lawyer said, would you tell me the names of those on top of the page, page 447 that I've got here, you know, of a Greek testament, okay? And so Russell answered, well, I don't know that I will be able to. Okay. He says, you can't tell what those letters are? Look at them and see if you know. Okay. Then Russell come back and said, my way. And then all of a sudden, the record say when he said my way, he was interrupted at this point and not allowed to explain. Okay. Now, first of all, he talking about his way. His way. Okay. Now, Stalton come right back and he said, are you familiar with the Greek language? That's a question. Russell answered, no. Finally admitting that he knew nothing of the Greek alphabet. Okay. Now, this is the same man that's supposed to have called himself translated the Bible or translated the word of God. But remember, the word was written in Hebrew and Greek. So if you didn't know the Greek, how are you translating it? To what? And now you got the Jehovah's Witness. And so today, Jehovah's Witness got a book called the NWT or the New World Translation. And they had their so-called other scholars down the line from Charles Russell calling themselves translating stuff. Okay. But all of it goes back to Charles Russell. Okay. Amen. Now, there's another thing that the same lawyer caught him in a lie on in the same courtroom, same trial, okay? And this other lie he caught him on was Charles Russell was going around telling people that he was ordained by a certain, I guess, religious body, okay? So, question him on that. And Stone asked him this question. He said, is it true you were never ordained? And so Russell come back and said, it is not true. Okay. Now, from what I understand at this point, the lawyer appealed to the magistrate, the one in charge, the judge in charge, in order to make Russell answer the question directly. Okay. The magistrate presiding ruled that Russell must answer the question put to him. And here's the result. So Stone comes back and he says, now, you were never ordained by a bishop, a clergyman, a Presbyterian, a council, or anybody of men living. That's a question. But he was saying, you weren't ordained. And Russell answered after a long pause, I never was. He lied about being ordained. He lied about knowing. You know, that's why they are so off target. And for those of you who have been listening to me in the series, I told you about how even in their New World Translation, you know, John chapter 1, verse 1 said, in the beginning was the Word with God, and the Word was God. In their NWT, their so-called translation, they got, and the Word was a God, little g. Jesus, and that referred that to Jesus as a little g God. Now, there's no way they didn't get, that is no true translation. Amen. Frederick Price would say, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He was a deceiver and a liar. And he deceived so many people. And now you got the Jehovah's Witness going on today. Amen. Started by one man, one born-again believer. He had problems with the atonement of Christ. He had problems with eternal torment. He said there was no hell, all of that stuff. And then saying Jesus is dead, forever dead. He wasn't born again. He was a money-hungry person because, you know what? He took you to court to sue you because he wanted to get some money, okay? But see, what he was doing, because he wasn't thinking, he should have just let the people talk. But no, he wants to be big shot and get some money, so I'm taking you to court. And you didn't know that you was getting your own self exposed. That's why I say to anybody, you doing evil, planning evil, whatever evil you doing, and you thinking you got everything covered, no, you don't. Because when God exposed you, I guarantee you, when you see the exposed, you go, man, I never thought to cover that. No. Okay? Especially when there's people going to God and ask for the truth about you. God's going to expose you. Okay? Hallelujah. Well, amen. Amen. So he was a liar. He was a deceiver. Okay? And especially when it comes, and see, he was a lover of money. So he coming to you, say, I got this miracle wheat. You know, it's better than the regular standard wheat, and it will grow five times. And people, oh, wow. You know, wow. He had, and like I said, it sounds like some stuff that's going on among Christianity today. I got to be real about it. You know, sold $1,000 and you'll get this miracle water that we got from such and such a place. You think God ain't looking at that? And now you're imposing to the people that the only way they can get it is that you have to sow seed. Jesus. And the seed, they talking about money. They ain't talking about you sowing no time. Okay? You can cancel that. Sow money. Money. And now gotten folks thinking that the only way they can get healed if they sow $1,000. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. So I guess those people have to sit up there and say, well, I just can't get here. You be like, well, are you ready for the Lord here? I ain't got the $1,000. What you need $1,000 for? You need faith. Those people back in what they want to call the biblical days, because we're living in the biblical days. Look at how Jesus healed them. What kind of money did you read in the scripture that they gave Jesus? What did they sow $1,000 to when they got their healing? Where? I mean, in fact, show me when they start sowing money just to get their healing. Where? Jesus healed a man with a withered hand. The Bible said all that were brought to him that were sick, he healed them of diseases and cast out demons. And it said nothing about, and he did it after they sowed the seed of such and such a money. It didn't say that. But see, now we have got that many, even among the body of Christ, have become so money hungry that they sitting up there and coming up with this propaganda just to get money. And you think God is not looking at that? Oh, yes, he is. And if it wasn't good for Charles Taze Russell to do it, it's not good for anybody proclaiming to be a Christian to do it. That's being deceiving. See, I thank God for direction. Because, see, we don't come on Blog Talk Radio saying, if y'all need a healing, if you sold $100, we will send you this healing handkerchief for the $100 you sold. No. No. My Lord, have mercy upon us, Lord. Because it ain't got what I call ridiculous. Okay? That's what it got, ridiculous. To a point, man, it just don't make no sense. Okay? And there are people going to answer for that. They're going to answer for that. Okay? Now, is there any time that God look for us to sow seed that can buy finances? Sure it is. Would he bless you through that? Sure. But to make that your whole healing, all that, just hinge on you giving money, you need to have faith. Because when you're putting this thing out there constantly, that it got involved money. You see some Christian broadcasts and stuff like that, you know, they keep advertising, sowing money. You got some come on TV, they literally begging you for money. And I'm like this, if God put you on there, we shouldn't have to beg. You understand what I'm saying? We shouldn't have to beg. Now, I can tell the people, say, if you want to give a donation, hey, and like I said, the Blog Talk Radio, we on Blog Talk Radio. If any of y'all want to send a donation, you can. But I'm not putting numbers on y'all. Tell you, just send me $100. Just send me $1,000. Comfortable with that. Okay? Just think about the widow woman that had, what the Bible said, what, two mites? Just think about her. They said, you know, I want you to sell what will be considered our time, $100. But she didn't have it. That would have messed her up, discouraged her. She, oh, man, you don't need me. Showing this little stuff I got right here. I might well go. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to stop it here today. We're going to have a part three of the founder part three. And I think that part three is going to be the last part to this section of the series. We're going to have part three. We're going to look at three other things that he was involved with and reveal how he operates. Plain and simple. Amen. Plain and simple. This is what I want you to see and understand. And see, like I said, people are putting the name Christian to Jehovah's Witness. They even put Christian to this man. I said, this man was not a Christian. Okay? Child was not a Christian. Not you going around saying the man, first off, if you, and I say this to any Christian, I want to say this to Christians right now. Now that I'm thinking about it, I want to say this. You need to watch these people, especially these so-called archaeologists, when they come on TV and say, you know, we think we discovered that maybe the bones of Jesus. If I were you, I'd cut that TV set off or turn something else. Because if you accept that, that's saying that Christ was not resurrected. Your whole salvation is messed up now, okay? If you go to accept that, well, you know, it's possible that that could have been his bone. Your whole salvation messed up. Paul said, your faith is in vain and you are yet in your sin. So you need to watch people that try to, and I'm looking for the right word to say, put down the resurrection. Or trying to show you like it really wasn't so that Jesus was resurrected. You got to watch that. They come to you and say, you know, it's possible that they said they found his bones. They found his tomb and possibly some bones that could be his. Whoever tells you that, either you can cut them off or you say, okay, well, okay, see you later, I'm gone. One of the things that the devil has been planting a seed to do, he wants people to think that he whooped Jesus. His own followers, people in witchcraft, Satanism, stuff like that. That's what he tell them. He tell them he whooped Jesus. So every time you are proclaiming or teaching that Christ was resurrected, you slapping him in the face. You know, you slapping him in the face. And man, are you crazy? You didn't whoop Jesus. He rose, and he can't take that. Okay, he can't take those slaps. And see, he can't take you talking to his own followers about nothing like that. After he didn't told him that he whooped Jesus, you know, once you go around telling his followers that hey, you know, Jesus rose. You don't want none of that. You know? I mean, you reckon his plans when you're doing something like that. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for your word, your spirit, your power of the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you today for being God and ruler of all things. And, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity you've given me to go on this broadcast to share this information with the people. I pray, Lord, that you will water the seed that I've sown and bring forth the increase for your glory. And so, God, I lift you up and I magnify you and I give you glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, I thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to the Most High God. Thank God for all of you. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Lord, say the same. Brother Emmanuel Murphy should be on tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement. And the Lord say the same. I will be back Tuesday. With another part of the series, it'll be Jehovah Witness talking about the Trinity, what they had to say about the Trinity. Amen. It will be the Trinity part two coming up Tuesday. So, thank God for all you listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast, and may God bless you, and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Worship and adore. just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone.
Because of you,
my cloud days
are
gone. I'm so grateful, Lord.
For yourself, huh?